11 minutes before 8 a.m. This is Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 35 degrees under overcast skies. Today is Wednesday, March 19th, 2014. I'm Melissa Marconi-Wenzel with Raven News. Well, it's herring time, Sitka. As Rachel Waldholtz reports, the multi-million dollar Sitka Sound Sacro herring fishery could open as early as the end of this week.
The Alaska Department of Fish and Game has announced that as of 8 a.m. on March 20th, the Sitka Sound Sacro herring fishery will be on two-hour notice. That means seiners could have their nets in the water as soon as Thursday if the department's test samples find a high enough percentage of mature roe, or eggs, in the fish by then. The Sitka herring fishery packs major economic impact into a short time span. The roe is sold to markets in Asia, and on average, the fishery, which only lasts about a week, is worth a total of nearly $6 million to fishermen at the docks. Seiners will target over 16,000 tons of herring in Sitka Sound this year. That's considerably more than last year's limit, but it's a target, not a guarantee. For the last 2 years, the herring spawn has happened so quickly that the fleet wasn't able to catch the full limit. To harvest the roe, the herring must be caught before they spawn, in the window of time between when the female fish develop mature eggs and when they actually move to shore to lay those eggs. Determining that window is the difficult job of fish and game biologist Dave Gordon. He said the department decided to put the fishery on notice this week so that they'll be ready in case things start to move fast.
And we have very large fish, and the sample that we saw yesterday was really as big as they get in Sitka Sound, 200 gram plus fish, and from what we've seen from those larger fish is when they get ready to spawn, they go, and they do it in a hurry, so we want to be prepared for that.
Once it opens, the fishery will progress in stages. There's only enough processing capacity in Sitka to handle about 4,000 to 5,000 tons of herring at once. With 48 seiners participating in the fishery, that typically means the opening only lasts a few hours, Gordon said.
You're really putting them on the fish. You know, the fish are there, and you've got 48 boats that have, you know, very huge capacity to catch fish, and it doesn't take long to get the kind of tonnage that we'd be looking for. You know, 4,000 or 5,000 tons can be caught in 15 minutes, depending on the situation.
After an opening, the fishery must then close for about 2 days to allow the processors to work through the catch. With a harvest level of about 16,000 tons, Gordon said he's anticipating about four separate openings. But right now, he can't say for sure. As with everything else, it depends on the herring. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Rachel Waldholtz.
The department's research vessel, the Kestrel, will be in Sitka starting today, and Fish and Game will also be conducting daily aerial surveys. The department will hold an organizational meeting for fishermen and processors at 1 p.m. today at the Westmark Hotel in downtown Sitka. Basketball teams from Sitka have a realistic shot at reaching the finals of the state tournament this week and could even win. Both the Mount Edgecombe Lady Braves and the Sitka Wolves are well positioned to advance when tournament play begins on Thursday. Tom Hess is the sports editor at the Daily Sitka Sentinel. He dropped by our studios to share his thoughts on the team's chances with KCAW's Robert Woolsey.
Tom Hess has covered every home basketball game this season, and he also went to the regional tournament in Juneau. He'll be traveling this week to Anchorage, where he says the Mount Edgecombe girls are going to be dangerous.
You could call them a favorite for this team, for this conference. The thing that Mount Edgecombe has going against them is that the top team in the entire state, which would be ACS, Anchorage Christian School, they're on the opposite side of the bracket. So Mount Edgecombe doesn't have to see them unless they were to face them in the championship game. But first they'd have to get through Nikiski, then they'd have to get through the winner of Barrow and Valdez. And both squad across the board, for Mount Edgecombe, it's really just a matter of keeping in their style, working the game inside out, because they get their best looks when they feed inside, when they kick back out, and when they play great defense. They're a team that plays good defense without fouling. At one point in the season, they beat Juneau Douglas High School, a 4A school. Mount Edgecombe is 3A. They beat them 50-10 and didn't have a single foul in the second half.
During the regular season, Mount Edgecombe beat its opening round opponent, Nikiski, by 2 points, but it was only the second game of the season. The Lady Braves have also beaten their prospective second-round opponent, Barrow. Hess says these early-season wins aren't really significant going into the state tournament. He expects tournament opponents to try and double-team Mount Edgecombe's low post, Taryn White, who's averaged 13 points a game this season. But that strategy could backfire.
So that'll open up a lot of room for Mount Edgecombe's shooters, and they have some pretty good shooters. Peyton Weiss has possibly the smoothest stroke in basketball in Southeast, maybe in the state, boys or girls. She's got an incredible shot. She shoots all the time. Total gym rat. Just has a great stroke. She's been shooting over 30% from three-point range this year. And Renata Olson has also been shooting over 30% for the Lady Braves. So they've got some shooters to kind of balance out this approach.
Like the Mount Edgecombe girls, the Sitka boys are also on the opposite side of the tournament bracket from perennial powerhouse ACS and defending champions Monroe Catholic, dramatically improving the odds of the Wolves reaching the finals. The Wolves face Grace Christian in the opening round, a team they met at home for the first game of the season at the Holland America tournament. The Wolves dropped that contest but came back to win the tournament by defeating Thunder Mountain, a 4A team visiting from Juneau. If they survive Grace Christian, Sitka would then meet Bethel in the second round, a team which traveled here in the early season and split a pair of games with the Wolves. Hess says the matchup with Bethel was a learning experience for Sitka.
In their first game against Bethel, Bethel hit a dozen three-pointers, and they beat Sitka by something like 25 points. They really just, they handed it to Sitka. Basically, they were lights out from three-point range. They shot well. All five players on the floor for Bethel can shoot, all of them. And it's that you can't leave anybody open. Second game, Sitka comes back. They don't have Brian Way. They don't have Tevin Bain. They don't have Ryan Samuelson. So they're missing two bigs. They're missing one of their guards. Three big contributors for Sitka. And they beat them by 10 points. And one of the biggest differences was they played a lot more man-to-man, and they were just more aggressive defensively. You talk to the team afterwards, and they were just like, no, we weren't going to lose this game because we knew this is a game they set up for us because we might see this team at state.
Except for one sophomore, Sitka starts all seniors, the same team that started last year. In theory, the Wolves could meet a worn-down ACS or Monroe Catholic in the finals and have their best chance at a three-day championship in years. Hess believes Sitka's boys have been on this track for a long time.
I keep saying this is a team that's built over 2 years. It's really a team that's been built over multiple years because these are kids that played together in middle school. They played baseball together. They played basketball together. They've seen a lot of each other. They know each other so well. They're a team that's well built to play really balanced basketball. And so they have to get up for this tournament because it's something that the cards have fallen in such a way. They've spent so long preparing for this moment that if they're not ready now, I guess they'll just never will be.
Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
Daily Sitka Sentinel sports editor Tom Hess will be heading to Anchorage for the state basketball tournament. The Sitka boys meet Grace Christian at 1:15 on Thursday. The Mount Edgecombe girls play Nikiski at 3:30. For links to the webcasts from the Sullivan Arena, visit our website, kcaw.org. And last week, the Sitka Assembly approved up to $250,000 to study solid waste management. Meanwhile, other communities are moving ahead with similar work of their own. Petersburg's Borough Assembly Monday night approved a new contract for curbside recycling collection. Assembly members discussed the cost of the new service, but are hoping for savings in garbage shipping in the future. Joe Vicknicki reports.
The borough received four proposals from companies interested in doing the work, including the Petersburg Indian Association, the current contractor. The lowest proposal, which will end up costing $100,000 for 15 months of collection, came from Ruger's Trucking LLC. That company has provided dust control services at construction sites in Arizona, but owners Angela and Wes Davis have moved to Petersburg. Local resident Ray Peterson thought the proposal amount was too high.
It's little about double what PIA used to do it for. I think it should be thrown out and rebidded, or the city hire a part-time employee, and I think you could do it for about half price.
The borough switched to the new voluntary commingled recycling program for residential and business customers back in February. The new program does not require sorting and allows recycling a wider range of materials, including plastics and cardboard. The borough assembly approved that program back in December, along with an increase in trash collection rates for people who do not participate. Assembly member John Haverlick Monday agreed the contract was expensive.
But what I am hoping is that our community will go like others. I'm really pleased with the amount of people that have signed up for recycling and that I know for my purposes, my garbage has been cut into two-thirds or a half.
Haverlick thought garbage shipping costs would be cut with the drop in trash collection. Assemblymember Jay Stanton Greger asked Public Works Director Carl Hagerman how the department would be making up for the budget deficit caused by the new contract.
It is all tied to the diversion rate from our solid waste stream to the recycling. That's the whole purpose of the commingled stream, is to take the solid waste that we ship at $105 a ton and turn it into recycling that we ship at $35 a ton. That's the whole reason we're doing this. The recycling rate that we achieve ultimately, the goals that were set in the ordinance that the assembly passed earlier this year, don't happen overnight.
Hagerman recommended awarding the contract and letting the program work for a year. He said the borough could still try to increase the number of recycling customers.
Now that things are pretty much leveled out as far as customer base, we can go back to the advertising and start to pick up the people that haven't signed up yet. There are still a number of folks at the lowest service level that haven't signed up yet. Yes, they are paying the higher rate, but again, diversion being the key, to get everybody involved would be a great thing. We can do that through advertising and public relations.
Hagerman thought the number of local businesses recycling could also be increased. He said the amount of recyclable materials collected has increased overall, but could not yet put a number on that percentage. Despite the cost concerns, the assembly unanimously approved the new contract award to Ruger's Trucking. The interim collection contract with the Petersburg Indian Association runs out at the end of this month. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicknicki.
And that's all for Raven News for this morning. It's 8 a.m. This is KCAW Sitka. You can listen to or read most Raven News stories again on our website, kcaw.org. 35 degrees in downtown Sitka under overcast skies, just about 1 minute after 8 a.m. Good morning.